From our New York studios up in Harlem, let's go inside her story with Jackie Reed. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Tom, Sybil, and Jay. So Fortune magazine says the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs in the U.S. is Black women. Now, that doesn't mean starting a business for us is easy. As my guest this morning knows firsthand, launching and running a successful company takes almost endless work and sacrifice, but the rewards are priceless. Tom, I'm going inside her story with one of your favorite people, Melba Wilson, owner of Harlem's best soul food restaurant, Melba's, and her own catering company. And Tom, she beat Chef Bobby Flay on his Throwdown show.
Way to go.
All while raising a teenage boy as a single mom. She has a book that tells stories about her life and, of course, has recipes. The book is called Melba's America Comfort, 100 Recipes from My Heart to Your Kitchen. Good morning, Melba.
Hey, Melba.
Good morning.
How are you? So wait. What did you cook to beat Bobby Flay? I know it was a little while ago, but what did you make?
I made my Southern Fried Chicken and eggnog waffles. And I really think that it was the eggnog that really knocked it up the park for me.
I don't know why he thought he could beat you, but okay. Now, let's talk about
Bobby Flay.
Because this is Bobby Flay, and it was his show, but Melba kicked butt. Yeah. All right, so starting your own business wasn't easy, Melba. And many folks might assume when they learn that you're the niece of the late, great Sylvia, you know, they might assume that you could just ride on her coattails, you know, and that's how you got your restaurant and your business started. But it wasn't easy for you. You really paid your dues. Tell us about how you got started.
Well, I actually started off as a cashier at Sylvia's restaurant, and I have to tell you, that's one of the best things that could have happened for me. Being able to learn the business literally from the bottom all the way up proved to be essential, especially in being an entrepreneur and owning my own business. I started out as a cashier, moved up to a hostess, and then a catering director, and so therefore, when I got other opportunities, I was ready for them. Sylvia's really provided me a PhD in this restaurant industry.
So you worked at other restaurants before you you worked at Sylvia's, but then you went out to work at other restaurants before you opened your own?
Yes, I actually work at Rosa Mexicano under the late, great Josefina Howard, Doug Griebel, and Dan Hickey, as well as got a call one day from Michael LaMonica, celebrity chef. And he said, Melba, every day at Windows on the World is fantastic. It's booming, except for Sundays. And Michael LaMonica gave me a wonderful opportunity to go into Windows on the World and do something different. And I started their champagne gospel brunch there. So their cover count essentially went from anywhere between 40 to 70 to between 300 and 600 every Sunday.
Right. Now, you know, I caught myself. I said I made the mistake of calling your restaurant a soul food restaurant, but you call it comfort food. Why do you call it that instead of soul food?
You know, when I think of my food, I think of American comfort food. And to me, comfort food is food that evokes warm, wonderful memories. I also think that our food is extremely inclusive. And, you know, that's what we cook. You know, we cook that macaroni and cheese that makes your mouth water. With the three cheeses, it's creamy, it's yummy, it's delish. You know, our collard greens are seasoned with smoked turkey, as opposed to ham hocks, which are what I grew up eating. However, I do have to say that I think that the basis and the foundation for the food that I cook, which is American comfort food, is definitely soul food.
Do you think the best part of your learning curve was starting as a cashier? I think a lot of people feel, this is just my opinion, Melba, but just in terms of getting to where you want to be these days is not doing the work in terms of learning from the beginning, from as you open the door all the way to the top in ownership.
Definitely one of the best aspects, and what gives me the tools to be able to stand during those rough times is the fact that I did start at the bottom. It also gives me the ability to appreciate things on a totally different level, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember early on when I first opened Melba's, it was about 8:30 and the dishwasher hadn't shown up, and he was supposed to be there at 7 o'clock. I waited until 8 o'clock, no phone call, no nothing. Girl, by 8:15, you know I was in there, sleeves up, doing the dishes. And when he came in at 8:30, he was like, oh, Miss Melba, don't do that. Well, you know what? I think it's important to let people know that you can do it, you will do it, and it's not above you doing it. And that only comes from having done it.
And you know what it takes for each position.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. you know, I'm every woman when it comes to my restaurant.
Tell us a little bit about your catering business as well, Melba.
Well, my catering business, I'm born, bred, and buttered, as I like to say, in Harlem. And, you know, girl, you know, when you talk about caterers that say, I won't take, you know, I only do events that where the profit margin is this and the profit margin is that, you give me all the events that everybody else doesn't take, those are the events I take, you know. But what that allows me to do is it allows me to cater and work for the small church groups within the Harlem community, as well as working for Columbia University or catering for Jay-Z or Target's grand opening, which was 3,000 people. So, right. You know, my grandmother used to say, Melby, 100 pennies make a dollar.
So true. And in the book, you know, you have all these recipes, more than 100 recipes, and some non-traditional foods like gluten-free fried chicken. How is that possible?
Yeah, how's that possible?
You know, we're living in a gluten-free world now. But we often have people that will come into the restaurant and say, I'd love to eat your fried chicken, but I'm gluten-free. And I said, you know what, let me challenge myself. After all, that's what being a chef and being a cook and being an entrepreneur is about. It's about challenging oneself. And so it took me about 6 or 7 months, but I came up with this amazing gluten-free fried chicken where I substitute flour for brown rice flour, tapioca flour, and potato starch. Put it in front of a few of my friends, gave them both. Girl, nobody knew the difference. That's how I knew it was a great fried chicken.
Okay, I'll be by to get some of that soon.
And some collard greens, right?
And, well, you know I got to have my collard greens. You guys, when I was in the hospital last year with my collapsed lung, Melba sent food every day. I was in the hospital. She had her son bring food over there. She's a
wonderful.
Great friend. Yeah.
Well, I'm not a doctor, but girl, you know I can cook and I can feed you.
Girl, it fixed me. It fixed me right
Dr.
on up.
Dr. Melba.
Look, I'm a doctor in the kitchen.
Melba's American Comfort. And if you're in New York City, you're having a book signing tonight, right?
I am. I'm super excited.
All right.
It's hosted by Sherry Shepherd.
All right, Sherry Shepherd. Our own Sherry Shepherd. Thank you, Melba.
Congratulations.
Bye.
Bye, Melba.